All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Today's daf, we have the Schus Baruch Hashem to start a new perek this morning. Today's daf is Ayin Vav. First of all, an incredible shkoyach to all of those Baruch Hashem who were able to finish Ezehu Neshech. As you might have noticed, Ezehu Neshech is not the easiest of crossing. Although the last daf of Ezehu Neshech made it all worth it. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara. But really, it's certainly one of the hardest prokim in Shas. It makes our Yevamos days look a little bit more like a walk in the park. But again, it's an incredible testament to your Amelos that Baruch Hashem we made it through. Yashkoch to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. Our shir this morning is sponsored by the Kelman family, Shendi and Avram Kelman, in commemoration of the yard site of Shendi's father, Alexander David Yishai Yosef Ben Yoel Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an aliyah and his family in the Chama. Shkoyach. All right, so let's begin. We're starting again. Today's daf is Ayin Vav, 77. We're picking up on the bottom, 76. We're picking up on the bottom of 75B, brand new perek. And that new perek smell, very exciting. So let's saturate in again. This is a very exciting perek. You're going to see a lot of halacha lemaisa and really fascinating ideas. Person goes out and hires workers. The Gemara is going to come back and explain this lashon on Amud Beis. But hitu ze'ezeh means they literally wrong each other or they mislead one another. Now it's not clear from this wording of the Mishnah who exactly is wronging who. So they have absolutely no financial claims against one another. All they have are taromas. Literally means they could be brigas. Right? They have complaints. They have complaints against each other. So again, we'll discuss what exactly the case that we're dealing with over here is. So if a person goes ahead and hires a donkey driver, or goes ahead and hires, Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, Sakhra Sakhamra Sakedar Lahavi Prifirin Vechalilin Kedar Balkarin. So a person hires a donkey driver or Kedar is a wagon driver. To go ahead, Lahavi Prifirin Vechalilin. To go ahead and bring Prifirin, Rashi says, is Eitzim Mishupim Benoim La'asos Lo Apirion. So a person, talks about Prifirin is planed wood. Planed wood, why would you use planed wood? To make a chuppah. So I'm going ahead and I'm hiring someone to go ahead and bring wood or to bring flutes. Why would I be hiring someone to bring wood or to bring flutes? Either lakalo, to go ahead and, because I'm making a wedding, Baruch Hashem, so I'm hiring someone to bring chalilin, to bring flautists. Right? Very good. Thank you. Flautists to go ahead and play at the chasana or for the chuppah. Ola Meis. We'll say, remember again from our Moed Katan days, that an interesting, fascinating minhag they used to have in the times of the Gemara is that they would sometimes have music, flutes, by a levaya. And the reason for that is because if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Music sometimes is able to be ma'orer bechi. It's able to move people to cry. So very often they had some type of music at a levaya. What's the common denominator between a wedding and a levaya? And don't make any marriage cracks, you know? What is it like a delay over here? So the common denominator is that they're both time sensitive. They're both time sensitive, meaning if I contracted with someone to go ahead and be the flautist or someone to bring the wood for the chuppah and they're like 7 hours late, we've got a big problem. Or they come the next day. Or for that matter, I hire someone to take my flax out of the water. Part of the way you process flax is the flax has to be soaked. But if it soaks for too long, it ruins the flax. The chol davar sha'avad, it was said, come the denominators, you call this a davar sha'avad. So a davar sha'avad means something that is time sensitive. That if it is not taken care of in a timely fashion, the object is ruined, the opportunity is lost. The chazru bahen. And it will say, so what happens? I hire someone to provide this service. And then right when the person, well, we'll discuss again the parameters of this, but the person then, the service provider cancels. Service provider cancels. So what's the halacha? Makum she'in sham adam. So we'll say, so here's the issue. The halacha always assumes the following. If you have a situation where there's always someone else, flautists are a dime a dozen, or I could find someone else to bring the planed wood. In other words, I could remedy the situation, get someone to take my flax out of the water. So I'm obligated to remedy my own situation. That's the halacha. I have to find someone else to take care of the work. So makum she'in sham adam. But what if there's no one else, or no one else readily available? Again, we're going to define all of these different terms. So Rashi says over here, Makom Shein Adam Sheino Motzi Paul and Liskar Vapishan Avad Busamachalein. So there's no one else for me to hire to remove the flax from the water. So what do I do? Sochar Alehen. So we'll say, and again, these are really fascinating halachas. Sochar Alehen means, so we'll say, here's the issue. We all know you can always find someone to do something if what? If you're willing to pay. So let's say I could go ahead, I could find someone to do the job, but it's going to cost me much more money, so I am permitted to go ahead and hire that worker, even at an exorbitant price, and I pass that price along to the person who canceled on me. That's what it means, socher aleihem. I can hire new workers to do the job, and I can pass the exorbitant price on to the person who canceled on me. Oh, matan. But I say, oh, matan means I could mislead. This is an amazing halacha. I could actively mislead the person who canceled on me, essentially promise them more than I'm ever willing to deliver in an effort to get them to honor their contract. Again, we'll discuss the parameters of this. Omaton. Next case. We'll say, if I hire workers, and I, the employer, reneg on my workers, they reneg, yodam ala tachtona. Ultimately, again, they have the lower hand. Oh, I involved in balabayis chozer. So we'll say, in case number one, is I hired workers, the workers reneg. Case number two, in balabayis chozer bo, yodam ala tachtona. If I, the balabas, I, the employer, go ahead and reneg, then I have the lower hand. Bosei, in general, anyone who changes the terms of the employment, he has the lower hand. In other words, anyone who changes the agreement, that is the person who is at the disadvantage. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Kol Mashani Yado Al Tachtona." Okay, go nuts. Actually, we don't have to get into the example over here. "V'chol Achozer Bo Yado Al Tachtona." Similarly, whoever reneges, also has the lower hand. So, both say. So, we have a couple of very important halachas over here. Number one, we don't really know what the first case of the Mishnah is, because the wording is very ambiguous. That you go ahead and you hire workers, vehitu zeh zeh. They mislead each other, so there's no financial claim, only complaints. The other case we will say is, I hire someone to go ahead and do something that is of a time-sensitive nature. They renege. So I have a couple of remedies, thank you, at my disposal. Either I could go ahead and hire someone, well, my remedy number one, I will say, is in general, and this is important in halacha, I always have an obligation to remedy my own laws as quickly and as normally as possible. So meaning, I can't claim that, listen, I hired you, and now you know what, I'm not going to do anything, it's your problem, and I'm going to sue you for damages. You're not allowed to do that. You have to remedy your losses to whatever. So if I hire a worker, they don't show up, and there are other workers available, it is my obligation to go out, get someone else to do the work, and pay them. That's the simplest case, where I could go out and just pay the same amount of money to another worker. If I can't find another worker, I can only find people for more expensive costs, then again, I could do one of two things. Either hire the workers at a more expensive cost and pass that cost on to the guy who canceled on me, onto the, we'll call him the worker, who canceled on me, or it seems to be I could actively deceive the worker who canceled on me, promise him more money with the intention of what? Getting him to come back to work, but with no intention of what? Ever actually paying him that exorbitant amount. And again, Don't do this, right, until you see the Gemaras. Again, because we're going to see there are parameters to this. But Rabbi said, then the Mishnah introduces us to two important principles. The two important principles is, number one, when two parties are in a contract, the one who changes the terms of the contract, yado ala tachtona, is at a disadvantage. We'll discuss what that means. Similarly, if you have a contract and one party reneges, the party that reneges, ultimately, again, yado ala tachtona is at a disadvantage as well. Incredible. Said the Gemara. Chazu zeh bazeh, lo katoni, elehitu zeh zeh. So we'll say the first thing we're starting with over here is the first case of the Mishnah. So remember, again, the Mishnah had this interesting wording of hasokra so imnin vehitu. We'll say hitu literally translates as how? How would you literally translate? Mislead, right? Like ta'a. So literally mislead. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? It doesn't say chazru zeh bazeh. It doesn't say they reneged on one another. Rather, it says hitu zeh zeh. What does this mean? Da'atu paul lemahadadi. Oh, listen to this. The first case, the Mishnah Rabosai, is not a case of a disagreement or a misleading between, we'll call it the employer and the employer. There's a better word when you hire a worker. What's the hirer and hiree? contract. Okay, well, you know, we'll call an employer an employee right now, but you're going to see why I don't like using those terms, because we're going to discuss about different types of employment arrangements. All right, in any event, so this says the Gemara, the first case in the Mishnah is not talking about a dispute between the employer and the employee. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about, let's say, a case where I hire someone, and then that guy has to assemble a team. So we'll call it the employee who is in charge of assembling the team. I guess he effectively becomes like the foreman over the team. His job is to assemble the team. He gets into a dispute with the people he hired. Watch this. Says the Gemara, it's really interesting. Hey, chidami. What's the case? Domali balabayis zil ogirli paalin. So Amro says, I'm the employee. I'm the employer. And Reuben is my employee. I say, Reuben, go assemble the team. Go hire workers. Va'azil inhu va'at inhu. And Reuben goes ahead and he hires them, but he misleads them. How so? Hey, chidami. Ida amrle balabayis va'arba va'azil ihu amrlu betlasa. So listen, to this. So let's say I say to Reuben, listen, here's the deal. Go hire a team. I'm willing to pay a wage of 4 zuz per worker. 4 zuz per worker per day. What does Reuben do? He goes out and he hires the worker for 3 zuzim a day. So the Gemara says, Taromes, my avidite. I don't understand why should there be any problem over here. Meaning, what's going to happen? Let's play this out. So the workers start working and they find out that what? I, the employer, was willing to pay 4 zuz a day. They accepted the job at 3 zuz a day. Do they have any halachic recourse? The answer is
no.
Sabar v'kabyo. I don't understand. Listen, they accepted the job. If they wanted more money, they should ask for more money. They accepted the job at 3 zuz a day. The fact that they found out that Reuben, that I, the employer, was willing to pay 4 zuz a day instead of 3 zuz a day, okay, they could have tinyus, they could feel a little bit slighted, but they have no halachic recourse. So listen to this. Oh, now watch this. I'm the employer. I say to Reuben, go assemble a team. Here's the deal. I am willing to pay them 3 zuz a day. What occurs? Reuven hires them, by that what Rabbo say? Reuven hires them at 4 zuz a day. So listen to this. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ida amar lehu scharchem alai. So Rabbo say, listen, if Reuven said, now Rabbo say, you could see, by the way, a metzias of a case like this. Right? Remember, Reuven is getting his money, whatever it is, as the foreman. I say, I'm the employer, I'm willing to pay the team 3 zuz a day. Reuven may make a cheshbon and may say, you know what, listen, for 3 zuz a day, I'm going to get this kind of worker. I want to pay 4 zuz a day. And look, if Reuven says, schar chemalai, he says to the guys he's hiring, I'm responsible for your wages, then what? Then nasiv luhu mididay. But you can have a metzias like this, where the foreman might say, it's more worth it for me to pay a little bit extra out of what? Out of my pocket. Meaning, remember, I'm the balabas. I'm the employer. I'm saying, I'm committing to 3 zuz a day. Reuven, you want to pay them 4 zuz a day? That's your business. But that extra zuz is coming from your pocket, not from mine. This sign, because we have a case like this. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting case, which we'll get to, that if I hire a worker, to go ahead and work on my field. So what happens? Accidentally, I go ahead and I show, so I hire Reuven to work on my field. For some reason, there's a mix-up. I show Reuven my friend's field. So Reuven ends up working on the wrong field. So what's the halacha? Now Reuven comes back to get payment. And what? I didn't work on my field. So what's the halacha? No sin, no schara misham. So we'll say, I am obligated to pay Reuven his full wage. Why am I obligated to pay Reuven his full wage? Because the mistake is mine. I showed Reuven the wrong field. But the chozer v'nolto mi balabayis, masheha no. But I will say, at the end of the day, I am then able to collect from my friend the objective benefit that I gave him by having his field worker. Also, this in general is a very interesting halacha, that if you provide a service of objective benefit to another, even if they did not ask for that benefit, you absolutely can recapture payment for that benefit. Now, it has to have objective benefit, and the other piece also is, remember, you don't necessarily have to pay them the full value of the service. You have to pay them the cheapest value of the service, which we'll get to all this. I told you, it was worth it, right? Ezu Neshech, like to pave the way for this, mamish like gold. So says the Gemara the following. So if we're talking about a case, what's going on over there? What's going on? So if at the end of the day, I agreed to pay the workers 3 zuz, and Reuven promised them 4 zuz, okay? So Reuven's got to deliver that 4th zuz on his own. Lo tzvicha, Rabbah said, listen to this. The Amar Lehu, Scharchem Abalabais. Oh, what's the case over here? The case over here is, I told Reuven, listen, here's the deal. I'm willing to pay them 3 zuz a day. Reuven contracts them for 4 zuz a day, and he says to them, your schar, your payment, your wages are from the Balabas. Meaning, I'm just the intermediary to hire you guys. I'm not responsible for your salary. Your salary is on the Balabas. Your salary is on Silber, the employer. So says the Gemara, so what do we do? So meaning, now the Shaila is what? What am I on the hook for? Am I the employer on the hook for the 3 zuz I committed to? Or am I on the hook for the 4 zuz that Reuven promised the team? So Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why is such a kasha? V'lech sepolim, heichi miskri. Why don't we just look at what the going rate for workers is? I just want to say, what is the going rate for workers? In other words, this should be an answerable question. Are workers, for this type of work that I'm hiring them, do they go for 3 zuz a day? Do they go for 4 zuz a day? If they go for 3 zuz a day, then that's what I'm committed to. If they go for 4 zuz a day, even though I told Reuven 3 zuz a day, I should be on the hook for what? For 4. To which the owner says, oh, l'zricha de'ika de'megra ve'arba, de'ika de'miska betlasa. Let's say, as we all know, there are different kinds of workers. There are 3 zuz workers, and there are 4 zuz workers. The amrulei ilav the amritlan ba'arba tarchinon umiskarin ba'arba. Because let's say, here's the problem: on the workers market, you could find workers for 3, you could find workers for 4. The problem in this case over here is that when Reuven hired the workers for 4, and then it turns out that I'm only willing to pay them 3, they have a taina on me. What's the taina? They could say, look, we only accepted this job because it's a 4 zuz job, 4 zuz a day job. Had we known that you were paying 3 zuz, we would have what? Looked for 4 zuz a day work. Ibai sema. We'll say the other possibility is, oh, the other possibility over here is that what are we dealing with over here? The group of guys that Reuven hired are balabatim themselves. What does that mean? They're landowners themselves. So under normal circumstances, they would really spend their time focusing on their own properties. But what happened? Reuven approached them. What did he say to them? Look, I've got a good job for you. Right? So he says, to Amrulay, because now we'll say what happens. So Reuven promises them 4 zuz. Listen, that's good money. That's good money. So they figure like this. It's worth it for us to spend a few days away from our own properties, right? Making a little bit of money on Silber's properties because he's paying us 4 zuz. But they say to me now when they find out that's what? That I'm only willing to pay 3 zuz. So he says, the Amrulay, Ilav the Amritlan Barba, Hava Zila ben Milsalaz Gure. How do we know that you were only paying 3 zuz? We would have never accepted the job. First of all, it's beneath our dignity. Second of all, we'll say it's not worth it. Meaning at 3 zuz a day, I would be better off, the workers say, I'd be better off what? Putting my energies into my own fields. Ibai, so we'll say the other possibility is, li'olam bepolim askinon. To which, no, we're talking about workers, not balabatim. Do'am rulei, kevan do'amritlan barba, tarchinon va'avdinon l'cha avidita shapirta. Oh, to which the Gemara says like this. The workers say the following. They say, listen, Reuven, who's the foreman, hired us at 4 zuz. We gave you silver, 4 zuz quality work. 4 zuz quality work. Had we only known that we're going ahead and we're getting 3 zuz paid, then what? We would have only given you 3 zuz. So we'll say, which, by the way, you know that there are 2 different kinds of people in this world. And we'll say that there are more than 2. There are some people that they're always going to give 100%. Right? The greatest need in life is to give 100% no matter what you're getting paid. Right? Because you take pride in your work. Because you want to do what's right. Because you want to do a good job. Because what you put into your work is a testament to the nature and the quality of person you are. So there are some type of people that the truth is, no matter what you're paying them, are always going to give you 150%. And then there are other people who will say what? We'll say, what? Clocking out, right? Clocking out. I'm on break, right? Oh, this is what you're paying me? So this is what you're going to get. And I will say, the truth is, it's in a very important episode. Everybody likes to make more money. Of course, we all like to make more money. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's the pathway to more money, but it's only the pathway to life success. Whatever you're going to do, big or small, give it 150%. Because if you don't, it really shows a lot on you. If the effort you put in is commensurate with the amount of money you give, most people like that don't advance in life. Most people like that pretty much stay. So, I mean, if you're a clocker in, clocker outer, if that's how you live, pretty much that's where you're going to stay. If what you're willing to put out, what you're willing to give is commensurate with what you're getting, you're not going to advance much in life. But if you're willing to give 150% to whatever you do, you'll go far in life. I mean, don't take business advice from me. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's business advice. I think it's managed life advice. So the Gemara says over here like this. The Gemara says, so these guys over here say, no, I'm right. No, this is correct.
In 21st century.
You said l'chaim. Good, all right. Good. So what's in the coffee? So it says the Gemara like this. So what's that? So therefore the guys, the Tanya over here is, they say, listen, we gave you 4 zuz a day work. You only gave us, but now had we known that we were only getting 3 zuz a day, we would have given you 3 zuz a day work, to which the Gemara says, let's look at the work. Meaning, again, that should be something that you could look at. And also you should be able to see, and that's also you should know, by the way, in these Gemaras, in addition to the Choshen and Mishpat Halochas, is incredible yusodos you learn about what it means to have a work ethic. Nothing more important in life than for ourselves, what we teach our children, is a work ethic. So that's really what's coming out of these halachas. It says the Gemara, fine. So the guy says, let's look at his work. Let's look at the work. Did he do 3 zuz work or did he do 4 zuz work? Listen to this. Listen to what the Gemara says. Get ready for this. Look inside. So says the Gemara, Berifka. Says the Gemara, what are we talking about over here? With a ditch. Rashi says, Shechafru charet zivivo soda. So Rivka, not, so we'll listen to this. This is so incredible. Rivka, so when the Gemara answers, Rivka, when the Gemara answers a ditch, what is the Gemara answering? Digging is digging. There's no such thing as a 3 zuz ditch or a 4 zuz ditch. To which the Gemara says, Rivka nami meida yada. Well, so you hear this, Moser? It's not true. A ditch is not. There's different levels of ditch digging, right? There are different levels. We'll say everything in life that you do, even if it's digging a ditch, there are better ditch diggers. Right, be careful. There are better ditch diggers, and there are lazy ditch diggers. I will say, at the end of the day, everything you do in life, everybody look in your Gemara right now. Don't make eye contact with each other. Right? There are different levels of effort that you put into your malacha in life. And even if you are a ditch digger, at the end of the day, the amount of effort you put in comes out. An incredible idea. Tirshi Gemara says, Rivka Naimei Diyada, Dimali Maya. Oh, I was saying, that's the case over here, where ultimately it was filled with water. It rained. So now because it's filled with water, I can't tell the quality of the ditch. So the Gemara says, Velo Yodiyah. Ibaizim, the other possibility is, Liomulam Damar Le Balabayis Barba. The other possibility is, the Balabas said, now, let's go back to the first iteration. So remember, the first version of this we had is where the Balabas, I said to Reuven, my foreman, go get together the team. I'm going to pay the team, each guy, 4 zuz a day. Reuven goes out and gets them each for what? 3 zuz a day. So Bosai, at first we said, well, the team, right, the guys who are hired, have no taina on me. Why? Because they're subcontractors. And listen, they accepted it. That's what they accepted. I mean, they signed up for a 3 zuz a day job. Granted, they find out that Reuven undersold the job, right? That Reuven said, I'll pay you 3, and I, the Balabas, I, Silber, the employer, was willing to pay 4. Okay. No, they lost out, but there's no legal claim that they have. So says the Gemara,
V'dika Amritz. Does it make a difference that Reuven, the foreman, he might have taken the extra zuz for himself?
Oh, no, so that's not what we're talking about. So we will talk about that case where the foreman pockets some of the money. That's not the metzius over here. The metzius over here is I, the employer, am going to directly pay the employees. I just sent Reuven to go ahead and pay the team.
Not like he's paying Reuven and then...
Correct. I'm not giving Reuven a pot of money and then going, right, we'll talk about those cases. This over here is I am dispersing the paychecks. And when it comes time for payday and the workers say, we're here for our 3 zuz, I say, wow, 3 zuz, that's great, because I was willing to pay you guys 4 zuz. So how could the workers have any tainus on me? At the end of the day, sabar v'kabil, they accepted the 3 zuz amount. The amri lay less loch al timnat tov mibaylov. Because I will say, they ultimately say back to Reuven, how could you have undersold the job? There's a concept that I will say, we'll discuss this in greater depth. Al timnat tov mibaylov is a pasuk in Mishlei. do not hold back good from the intended recipients. In other words, Reuven, if we were entitled to 4 zuz from this job, you really had no halachic or hashkafic right to withhold that money. As such, we should be automatically entitled to the very amount to which the employer was willing to pay. An incredible yisod. Says the Gemara, Pshita, I'm Amarle, Balabayis, Bitlasa. Supposed to listen to this. If I, the employer, I'm the Balabas, I said I'm willing to pay the workers 3 zuz. And I will say, so what happens? Reuven comes along and hires the workers, and he says, look, you're going to get paid 4 zuz. Right, so Moses, see, now we have a problem. I was only willing to commit to 3 zuz. Reuven is willing to pay 4 zuz. So Moses, remember again, we spoke about this case earlier. So if Reuven says, listen, I'm willing to pay you 4 zuz and the salary's on me, right? I'm responsible for the salary. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? 3 zuz of that comes from me, the employer, the balabas. And what? One zuz comes from Reuven's own pocket. Fine. So the Gemara says, Va'amrle ba'arba, va'amrle kimishar, so let's just do this. Va'azal ihu, va'amrle ba'arba, va'amrle kimosha'amr balabayis. So let's say, listen to this. So now watch this case. I was willing to pay them ultimately 3. Reuven gets the team together, right, gets the workers together, and he says, listen, Silber's gonna pay you 4. And the workers say, okay, we agree to the terms of this contract in accordance with what the balabayis said. Oh, so remember, the balabayis is me. Silber, I'm the employer. So Bosai said, now what's the shayla? Datayu iluya. So Bosai, in that case, it is clear that their intent ultimately, again, is regarding the higher amount. Meaning, again, they committed to this job based on the 4 zuz amount. Ella, I amale balabayis ba'arba. Bosai, listen to this. But if the balabas said, I the balabas said, I'm willing to go ahead and give you 4 zuz. And what happens, Reuven, we'll call him the foreman, gets the group together and he says 3. So Bosa, listen to this case. So what happens now in this case over here where Reuven tells them 3, even though either Balabas was willing to give them 4. Right, yes, right. Either Balabas is willing to give 4, Reuven says 3, and when the workers agree to the job, they say, okay, we agree to the job as the Balabas stipulated. So we'll say, now what's the shayla? Mai. Adibura di de kasamchi da amrile mehemaslan da hachi amr balabai. So we'll say, so when the workers commit to the job, do they commit to the job as it was presented to them by Reuven the foreman? And therefore what? Sabo said, they're committing themselves to what? To 3. O dilma adibura de balabayis kasamchi. Or maybe they are reliant ultimately again. They're saying, listen, Reuven, you know, we know how you guys work, these foremen work. Whether you're trying, like Avram said before, to pocket some of the money yourself. So you know what? We commit ourselves. What we pretty much understand is that what you're promising us is kind of like the floor, right? That's the minimum amount we're going to get this job for. But we also recognize that it's possible that what? That the balabas, the employer, was going to be willing to pay us more. So pretty much our intent is to commit to this job for whatever the balabas was actually willing to pay us. So we'll say, see here what's happening in this case. So again, remember, just to be clear, this case over here, I the balabas, I'm the employer. I'm the one with the job. I'm the employer. I say to Reuven, Reuven, you're my guy, you're the foreman, assemble the team. I'm willing to pay each member of the team 4 zuz per day. Reuven goes out, assembles the team, and promises them what? 3 zuz a day. They, the workers, the team, say to Reuven, okay, we're in accordance with the salary as stipulated by the balabas. Now the shayla is, so what are they entitled to? Do we say that they commit themselves to the salary as promised by the balabas in accordance with what Reuven is promising, i.e. 3 zuz a day? Or do they say, no, we're committing to what the balabas says. We believe you, you're creating the floor amount. But we do not believe that what you're presenting is the ceiling. There may be more. And therefore, whatever the balabas really agreed to, that's what we're committing. And therefore, they would be entitled to 4. Incredible. Same shayla if it's flipped. No, it always goes to No, no, because again, correct. Because at the end of the day, if they were promised four, it's never going to be that they would ever settle. Meaning, the whole chap is the das of the worker. Das of the worker is, I always want the highest salary if I'm the worker. So lemaisa, again, if Reuven is the high, offering me the high worker, I'm locked in at that. I'm never going to go down because of the balabas. The child is, do I go up?
The Baal Bas says, I'm willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Good.
So, right, that's not our case. We will discuss that, but that is not our case. In our case, is I'm the Baal Bas, and I'm saying over here, I did my research. I'm a smart businessman. I know that good workers go for four. So I'm saying I'm budgeting for four. Not that I'm budgeting up to four, but if you could get it less and come in under budget, that's great. I'm telling Reuven, this is the offer this salary. Reuven of his own volition offers lower salary. Why he does that, we'll get into that. So it says the Gemara.
Does that fourth one come from Reuven?
I'm sorry?
Does that fourth one come from Reuven?
No, because remember, this is being promised by the Baal Bas. I'm promising four.
Yeah, but he went and said three.
He's saving it.
He's saving money. It says the Gemara. We'll say, come on, we're going to get through this. It says the Gemara. So what is it? We'll say, it's a fundamental shayla. So it says the Gemara, Tashma, well, let's analyze this from Gittin. Listen to this. Tashma, Habeli Gitti. So we'll say, we're going back now to a Gittin case. So listen to this. Habeli Gitti. So we'll say, a woman comes over to a man. Right, a woman comes over to a man, and she says to this man, bring me my get. Now, what's the case over? Look at Rashi. It's the last three short lines in Rashi. Avei ligiti, ve'ishtecha amrei skabe ligiti. So, let's listen to this. Ha'isha shamra li adam. So, a woman goes over to a man, and she's like this. Im timtzas vayli, if you happen to run into my husband, amr lo shiyishlach li es giti biyadecha. It's a little above an awkward conversation, right? So Mr. Schwartz comes over to you at Kiddush, and she says, by the way, if you happen to see my husband, do me a favor, tell him to send me the get with you, right? So what happens? I must say, so the issue over here is, she's essentially telling this guy, right? So you can imagine, so Mr. Schwartz is going over to Reuven, and she's saying to him, when you see my husband, tell my husband to send the get with you. V'te'ase shlucho shabali legarshin. Now we'll say, now the case over here is the following. So Mrs. Schwartz is running into Reuven, and she's saying to Reuven, when you see Mr. Schwartz, tell him to send the get with you. Which Rabbi says, another way of saying, tell Mr. Schwartz to make you his shliach laholacha. Tell him to make you the agent to go ahead and transport the get. Essentially, you should become my husband's agent and transport the get to me. Now, what happened? So we'll say, listen to this. So Tashma, Haveli Giti. So Mr. Schwartz says to Reuven, do me a favor, bring me my get, which means when you see my husband, become my husband's shliach laholacha. And now what happens? So Reuven shows up, he sees Mr. Schwartz, and what does he say? The ishtecha amra iskabe ligiti. Now we'll say, Reuven says to Mr. Schwartz that Mrs. Schwartz told me that I should accept the get on her behalf. Now we'll say, remember, Reuven is misrepresenting the shlichus. Because remember, Mrs. Schwartz told Reuven to become the husband's shliach laholacha. And he's presenting himself as what? The wife's shliach lekabala. So, first of all, a woman has a right to appoint a shaliach lekabala. She has a right to appoint a shaliach to receive the get on her behalf. No. She's suggesting. She's saying, when you go, correct. She's saying, when you go and you see Mr. Schwartz, ask Mr. Schwartz to appoint you as his shliach laholacha. That's what's happening over here. V'hu omar heilech k'masha amra. And what happens? Mr. Schwartz says, fine, take the get as my wife said. So as I say, now here's the problem. So Mr. Schwartz has agreed to this agency, but here's the problem. He says, take the get as my wife said. The problem is, as Mrs. Schwartz said, is not as Reuven the Shaliach represented it. Reuven the Shliach represented himself as a Shliach LeKabbalah, right? But in fact, ultimately, Mrs. Schwartz just told Reuven, and really is Menachem's point, Mrs. Schwartz isn't appointing Reuven as anything. Mrs. Schwartz is telling Reuven, when you see Mr. Schwartz, ask Mr. Schwartz to appoint you as his shaliach to transfer the get to me. So what's this? What happens in this case? We'll say the truth is, in this case, even when the get is received by her, she's not divorced. We'll say, why is she not divorced? Because l'maisa, the husband thinks that he's giving the get to a shliach l'kabbalah, and in fact, there was no shliach l'kabbalah. Therefore, because of that, again, the get does not work. Look at Rashi. Afilu higia liyada in ligoreshes. Alma, adibura didei kasachna. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that in general, in these type of transactions, when there is an intermediary, we rely on the representation of the fact as presented by the shaliach. And therefore the husband puts his trust in him. V'hachi amrle, mehemesli dekach amrle, v'lo asal shliach leholacha. Therefore the husband never made Reuven a shliach leholacha. Hilchach in kan shlichos. Therefore Rabbosai says no shlichos. Because he has no shlichos, then what? Rabbosai, remember, the operative phrase when it comes to gittin is v'nasan biyada. The get must be given from the husband to the wife. There is no v'nasan in this case. Because it will say, what happens? Husband thinks that he's giving it to the wife, shliach l'kabbalah. She never appointed him as a shliach l'kabbalah, nor is he acting as the husband's shliach l'holacha. Which means in this case, although the get is getting transferred from husband to the wife, there is no act of nesina. There's no act of giving. Essentially, this would be equivalent of a case where a husband dropped the get on the floor, and then what? The wife picked it up, where we all know she is not divorced because there is no nesina. But I will say, for our purposes, we don't really care about getting right now. What do we care about? What I care about is, in a situation like this, where we'll call it the principal says A, the shaliach says B, and the other party relies on the shaliach for the interpretation of the principal's intent. That's what we're gleaning over here. That at the end of the day, the third party relies on the shliach's representations of the fact. Because who says that get is a schus?
So then the cases are different.
Oh, so we'll discuss the cases are different. Einachinami. This is not a schus either necessarily. If the workers are being hired at a lower wage, it's also not a schus. Meaning, zachna adam shel lefanav only works also when the schil works one way. In this case, if I, the employer, have to pay more, it's a chov for me. Zachna adam shel lefanav really only works in very defined cases where there's an objective benefit and no detriment to anyone else. So says the Gemara, so let's analyze this. So says the Gemara, Amrav Nachman Arav Baravua, afilu gedei emigrashus, shamis mino, adibura didei kasamach. So we'll say, what do you see? You see from here that we rely on the shaliach's representations of the facts. Because I will say, if you think that you rely on the woman's, in the woman's words, she should at least be divorced when the get reaches her hands. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. In this case over here, Bishlama I itmar ipcha. So if the reverse would have been stated, if she were to say to Reuven, Mrs. Schwartz says to Reuven, accept the get on my behalf. In other words, be my shaliach likabala. Then, and when Reuven shows up, he says to Mr. Schwartz, Ve'ishtecha amra habe ligiti, and Reuven goes ahead and changes the mitzias, and Reuven says, your wife said that you should send her the get. In other words, your wife said that you should appoint me as the shliach leholacha. V'hu amar heilich kimash sha'amra. And Mr. Schwartz says, okay, take the get as my wife said. V'amar Rav Nachman amarav barabua amarav mishiyegiyar get liyada migureshes. When the get arrives at her hands, she is migureshes. What do you see from there? Alma dadibura dida kasamech. Rabbi said that would teach us that we rely on her words. Inami, the other possibility is, Mishiegiagat liadam migureshes, that ultimately, again, when the get gets to her hands, she is migureshes. What does that tell you? Alma dadibura didei kasamech. Elohasam, Rabbi said the problem over here, as we framed it, is what? Rabbi, remember again, where Mr. Schwartz says to Reuven, Haveli Giti, go to find Mr. Schwartz. When you find Mr. Schwartz, ask him to appoint you as a shliach laholacha. Then what happens? Reuven comes to Mr. Schwartz and he presents himself as what? As a shliach lekabbalah. The reason why that case does not work is mishum the akar shliach lishlichuse legamrei. Both say that case doesn't work because the shliach Reuven has fundamentally departed from the instructions of Mrs. Schwartz. The amar le shliach lekabbalah havina laholacha lo havina. Because we'll say, in this case over here, Reuven is essentially saying to Mr. Schwartz, I am now a shliach lekabbalah and not a shliach leholacha. So we'll say, what happens when a shaliach fundamentally breaks with the instructions he has been given, he is no longer a shaliach. What's an incredible musr with that as well. You have flexibility with the terms of the shlichos, but when you fundamentally break with the terms of your shlichos, you're no longer a shaliach. So in this case, there is incredible musr with that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. But we're not going to get into that now. But the idea over here is, in this case over here, where the shaliach is fundamentally departing from the original instructions. Mrs. Schwartz told him to ask Mr. Schwartz to make him into a shliach laholacha. She never appointed him as a shliach laKabbalah. When he becomes a self-appointed shliach laKabbalah, he's breaking with the agency. Once you break with the agency, he is no longer an authorized shaliach. Therefore, even though he brings the get to her, there is no act of nesina. Because there is no act of nesina, she will not be divorced. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes backwards a little bit. Ibai Sema. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Ibai Sema, Ashinuri Dereish Pirkai. So we'll say, remember again, if we go back for just a moment. Now just so you understand, there's a lot of issues that are being raised here that we have not resolved. So we will resolve them. But for example, this issue of the employer willing to pay X and the foreman only willing and only offering less or offering more, we have not resolved those issues yet. We will resolve them. But I will say, now the Gemara is jumping back for just a moment. So remember again, the first kasha we had in the Mishnah was the Mishnah spoke about a case of Hasokar es omnin vehitu ze'ezeh. So remember again, I hire workers, they misled one another. So remember again, we didn't understand that lashon of hitu. So the way we went ahead and understood that case is what's happening over here. What's happening here? This is the case where the way we set it up, which was the springboard for our entire discussion, is I, the employer, I have a job, I hired a foreman, and I tell the foreman to go out and hire the team. And then what happens? The foreman hires the team, but the foreman deviates from the instructions I gave him. Either he's offering more money to the team, less money to the team, and that gets into the whole discussion we have over here. Now the Gemara goes back and revisits that, and the Gemara says, "Ibay sama." The other possibility is, "Hai tana chazru nami hitu karile." It's possible that the word, even though the word that the Gemara used was hitu, hitu also means chazru, reneged. And the first case of the Mishnah is also talking about a case of where they reneged. This Tanya Bosa, listen to this case. So if I hired workers, and the workers wronged me, hitu asbal, meaning they misled me, or hita osan, or the I wronged them. Now in this context, what does hita mean? Hita means chazru, they reneged. So what do you see from here? That hita and chazr are synonyms. That those two words mean the same exact thing. Both of them mean reneging on a business agreement. So now we're going to get into this. So now, just pause for just a moment. So now we're going back over here and the Gemara is saying, no, the opening line of the Mishnah is just an introduction to the rest of the Mishnah. But actually, the opening line is a case unto itself. That there is a case, Rabbi Osei, where people enter into a contract. I hire workers, and either, again, I renege on them, or they renege on me. There are cases where there is no financial liability. Even though people are reneging on the contract, all there is taromes. So we'll say, what's taromes? What's taromes? Complaints against each other. I'm angry at you, I'm the employer, I'm angry at the employees, the employees are angry at the employer, but there is no financial liability or claim. But merit taromes, so we'll say, what is the case where either I renege on my employees renege on me, and neither of us have a financial claim on one another? What's the case? Get ready for this. Get ready for this. We'll say, watch this case. I hired workers to do a job. Let's say again, simple case. I hired them to work on my field. I reneged on them. They have no claim against me. When is that true, Rabbi Osai? B'shalo holchu. Rashi says, it's the second wide line in Rashi. B'shalo holchu. L'makum hamalacha u'baboke amal m'choz rani. Let's say workers would normally go ahead and leave at daybreak to go work on the field. I show up at their house 15 minutes before daybreak and I say, I'm canceling the job. So both in a case like that, where they did not yet go out into the field, they have no claim against it. Now, both saying, we'll get into other cases of where they say, but one second, we had another job offer, we didn't take that job. All right, we'll get into all of that. Remember again, that's grumma, that's causative damages. Causative damaches are a whole different discussion, halacha. But in any event, if I canceled the contract, essentially before they went out to do the work, shalohochu, aval hochu chamar velo matutua, but let's say like this, I hired camel drivers to transport wheat. And what happens? They show up at the field. They show up at the field to transport the wheat. And what happens? The wheat's not there. The wheat's not there. Or Poalin umatzu sadik shilacha. Or I will say what happens? Or I hire workers, and the workers show up and they see that what? That the field is wet. They can't work the field. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, no sein lahem schara mishalim. I have to pay them their full wages. In other words, that if they could not work, because my father, we'll discuss again with the field being wet, Rabosai, so we'll discuss exactly what that means. Right. But Lamaisa, right now, what it means is, at the end of the day, the workers show up, and there's no work for them to do. But it's my fault. It's my fault. Me, the employer, it's my fault. I did not ready the job for them. So literally, the Braisa says, I have to pay them their full wages. Says the Rabbo, one second. What does full wages mean? First wide line. About ina doma habaton lebarekon. When we say full wages doesn't mean full wages. Rather, what does it mean? Like this. So we'll say, what we ask the following is like this. How much would a camel driver be willing, how much less pay would a camel driver be willing to travel the distance without having to carry a load? Similarly, how much less money would a person be willing to accept if their job required no exertion? What do I mean by that? Let's say for argument's sake, I'd have to pay a worker $500 a day because he's engaged in physical labor. So I ask him, so we say, how much less would a person be willing to accept for payment for a job that just required them to sit still and read the newspaper? So we'll say, so there's an assumption that people would be willing to take less money for less exertion. That lower amount is the amount of money I'm obligated to pay in a situation where the worker doesn't have work and it's my fault. So the same thing, so the donkey driver, let's say he charges me $500 to transport the load of grain. So donkey driver, how much less would you be willing to accept for a job where you didn't have to transport the load? So whatever that lower amount is, that's what I, the employer, am on the hook for. So it says the Armedar Morim, but when is this true? Listen to this. Now we're really getting, we're saying to the Kishkiz of this, this is also only assuming that I canceled the contract before they started to work. About his Schilu b'malacha, but if they already started to work, Shamin Lahem Mashasun. Now this gets into a very interesting discussion. If the workers began to work already, then I have to go ahead and pay them for what they've done. Now Shamla means I evaluate what they've done, and I have to pay that amount of money. Now watch this. Ketzad, watch this case. Kiblu kama l'ktzav b'shnei slamim. Let's say I hired someone to harvest my wheat, to cut the wheat down in my field for 2 slamim. Now, just for illustration purposes, 1 sela equals 4 dinar. It's going to be important in just a moment. So let's say I contracted them for a job that was worth 8 dinarim. Okay, get ready for this. Katzru chetzya v'aniach chetzya. So what happens? They cut half of the wheat, and they left the other half of the wheat, the other half standing. They quit. So whatever the metzius is, they quit in the middle of the day, or whatever it is. They walked from job in the middle of the day. Or, beged le'erog b'shnei slam, or I hired someone to weave a garment for 2 slam, 18 arim. Argo chatzio, v'niach chatzio. They did half of the job. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Shamin lahen es masha asu. So what's the halacha? I have to pay them for the work that was done. Assuming that the quality of the work was good, the job was fine. I have no tainus on the job. My only tainus is you didn't do the whole job. So what's the halacha? I have to pay them for the work done. Now, listen, here's where it gets really riveting, fascinating, exhilarating, overwhelming. Watch this. Listen to this. So, haya yafesh shisha dinar. Listen, here's the problem. So it's very nice. What's my problem? My problem is what? I've got half a field that still needs to be harvested. So now what happens? I go out to find the guy. And what happens? So now remember, the way I contracted this job with Reuven, how much was the job worth? The job was worth 8 dinarim. Fine. So now what happens? He did 4 dinars worth of work. So now I've got, I try to find another worker for what? 4 dinar. What's my problem? I can't find someone for less than 6. Now whether that's because word gets out, Silver's got half a field and he's in a bind, right? Or the labor appreciated, or maybe I just got Reuven out of Metzia. Whatever the Metzia is, doesn't make a difference. The point is, I can only find someone now to work for 6 dinarim for the rest of the field. So I'll say, so what's talacha? No sein lahen sela, o yigmeru melachton, v'yitlu shneislam. So we'll say, so the halacha is, even though now it's going to cost me more money to finish the work, I can't charge Reuven for that extra money. I have to pay Reuven for the job he did. And the fact that now it's going to cost me more money to finish the job, I can't pass that amount onto Reuven. And we're going to qualify this. I can't pass that onto Reuven. So either, again, no selim sela, I either go ahead and give Reuven his one sela, his 4 dinar, for the job that was done, or again, I offer him the opportunity to finish the job, in other words, that I could still offer Reuven the opportunity to finish the job for 2 sela, or if I have to, I hire the other guy for 6 lam. But the idea over here is, I pay Reuven for what he did, and I cannot pass the cost of the extra 2 sela, or extra 2 dinar, excuse me, onto Reuven. V'im sela, no sin lohem sela. So says the Gemara, look at Rashi just a moment. V'im sela, v'im ein yafa ela sela. I'm going to say, so it's about 12 lines down in Rashi, in the wide lines. V'im sela, v'im ein yafa ela sela, dinim tzotin pol and lasos achatzya hasheni b'sela. No sin lohem b'masha asu sela. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara seems to make an obvious statement. If I can find someone to finish off the rest of the field for a sela, I give them a sela, and I give Reuven his first sela as well. So the Gemara is going to ask later on, that's obvious. Okay, just hold on to that statement. So listen to this. So says the Gemara, Vim sela, no sela, sela. Rabbi Dosan or Dosi says, Shamin lahen masha asid leha asos. We evaluate based on what has to be done in the future. What does that mean? Haya yafesh shisha dinarin. So we'll say, listen to this. If let's say it turns out that now the rest of the field, right, the rest of the field is going to cost me 6 dinar to finish it off, then what? No Saint Lohem shekel. I only have to pay Reuven a shekel. I'm about to say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Dos comes along and says like this. We're going to see later on that in the first opinion, if I suffer a loss, then I could pass that loss on to the first employee who canceled on me. We'll say Rabbi Dosa holds of the idea that whatever the work was done, Reuven is entitled to receive payment for that work. And I am not permitted as the employer to pass on that loss to Reuven. Now we're going to say, Rabbi Dosa is going to run into a big problem because the Mishnah espouses a principle. What's the Mishnah's principle? Kol achozer yado al tachtona. Whoever reneges on the job, he has the lower hand. So we'll discuss it, how Rabbi Dosa deals with the Mishnah. But in any event, Rabbi Dosa says that Lamaisa, again, if you bail out in the middle of the job, you get what you worked, and even though Lamaisa, again, I'm going to have to pay more for replacement labor, that's my problem. No say lahem sela. So we'll say that same repetitive phrase, which we'll discuss. The Gemara keeps saying pshita, mrachis pshita. We'll discuss what that means. Mezer amurim. When is this true, Abosai? Meaning, when is this true that lamaisa we say that Reuven, who canceled mid job, is permitted to go ahead and get paid for the work he did? Mezer amurim bedavar she'ein avud. We'll say that's talking with something where there is not a loss. Aval bedavar ha'avud. We'll say see. Up until now, remember again, the common denominator in all of these cases is, I have a field of wheat. So what's going to happen? So I need to hire someone else to go ahead and cut down the rest of the wheat. Or I had a garment that was being weaved. And so what happens? I have to hire someone now to do that job. Well, I said, that's not called the Davra Oven. In other words, I have to find someone, but it's not necessarily an immediacy right this moment. However, Avabu Davra Ha'ovid, they're both saying something is going to be lost. Socher Aleihen, I hire someone immediately. Oh, mat'on. We'll say, so remember, this is really quoting the Mishnah. So remember again, with that davra over the Mishnah said, even if I have to hire someone and an exorbitant amount of money, I do that, and what? I pass the cost on to the person who canceled the contract. Oh, mat'on. Or I could mislead them. How do I mislead them? Ketan mat'on. Omer lahem, sela katzatzti lochem, bo'u tulushtayv. So we'll listen to this. Reuven cancels mid-job. Remember, I hired Reuven to go ahead and cut down the entire field for, what did we say, for 2 sloim. two slam, 18 narim. So I say to Reuben, listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you go ahead and you agree to do the job, I'll give you two slam for the rest of the field. In other words, I'll double your salary. So we'll say, what happens? So I promise him that. And then when he comes to collect the money, what do I say to him? Right. You know what? No. I'm going to pay you what I originally contracted to pay because that's the job you should have done. So I could actively mislead him, promise him more money, and Rabbi said, we're going to qualify this in an effort to get him to go ahead and finish the job. Va'at kama sochaim. So we'll say, so there are two possibilities that I could have to remedy a davara of it. Either promise him more money, lie to him, promise him more money and not deliver, or I can hire other workers, even at an exorbitant amount of money, and pass on that cost to Reuven. So va'at kama. But I'll say, how much more expense could I incur and pass that on to Reuven? Ad arboim v'chamishim zuz. So I'll say, it's a lot of money. Even 40 or 50 zuz more, which I'll say is multiple times the cost of the job. Up to 40 or 50 zuz more. We'll discuss about a percentage or a ratio. But up to 40 or 50 zuz more, I could pass that on to Reuven. Medrar morim. I'll say, when is that so? Bizman she'in shampolim liskam. So I'll say, remember again, this ability to either go ahead and lie to Reuven and tell him, I promise you more money, or go and hire workers at multiple times the going rate of labor is only when, what Rabbi say? When there is no available workforce. Aval yesh shampolim liskam. Rabbi say, if it's relatively easy to what? To find additional workers, then what? Va'amar tsei usachar me'elu. I will say again, and Reuven says to me, listen, you can't pass on additional cost to me because you could just easily go out and hire additional workers. Ein lo alein ela taruma. So we'll say in that case over there, if there's always additional workers, meaning if it's relatively easy to replace my workers that quit, then I have no real claims except being braygus against my workers for quitting. Fine. So we'll say, so again, what you see coming out over here is the following. We see a fundamental machlokus, first of all, again, when my workers quit, and I have to hire replacement labor at a greater cost than the original job, who bears that additional cost? Do I, the employer, bear that cost? Or can I pass that cost on to the workers that quit? That's a machlokes. Rabbi Dosa seems to say, I, the employer, bear that cost. The other opinion, as well as the Mishnah, seems to say that I could pass that cost on to the workers that quit. Well, what else do we see? When workers quit mid-job, Rabbi Dosa is an incredible yesod. They are entitled to payment for the work that has been done. Meaning, essentially, Rabbi Dosa, we learned this already. Remember again? You remember this, right? You remember we spoke about this? Yeshna l'schirus mitchila v'atsof, o eina l'schirus mitchila v'atsof. When I contract with someone to do a job, do we say that the job is only complete at the end of the job and there's no payment that's accrued until the end of the job? Or do we say no? At every step of the job, the payment or the earnings are accrued incrementally. So you see over clearly the idea that we say payment is accrued incrementally. As the workers do the job, assuming, again, I'm both saying, this is all assuming that I have no tinus on the job they did. That's why the harvesting of a field is a good example. They harvested half of the field. They did half of the job, and therefore they are entitled ultimately to half of the earnings. So the major machlokes that we're dealing with, I'm sorry?
No penalty either.
Well, the shaila over here is, the penalty comes in, is if I have to hire an additional workforce for a greater amount. Who bears that greater amount? So again, the Mishnah, first opinion of the Gemara, seems to say that amount is passed on to the workers who canceled. Rabbi Dosa seems to say that amount ultimately is still borne by the employer. So we'll discuss that. Tani Tana Kamei Drav Nasim. So we'll say, excuse me. So the Tana taught the following teacher from the Rabbi. So just a few more lines. Nosin lahem scharan mishalim. Even when the workers cancel. Look at Rashi. Nosin lahem b'masha'asu selah. So we'll say, so again, when workers cancel, we go ahead and we give them the full wage for the work they have done. Amar le chavivi. So amar le chaviva. Amar ilu ana havi. If I was there, lo havi yahivna lahen ela kipoel batel. I would have never, if this happened to me, I would have never paid the workers the exact wage. Meaning I wouldn't have given, let's say this case. I hired them to harvest the field. They harvested half of the field. So the Braisa seems to say, so they said in front of Rav, that you give them 50% of their earnings. So Chavivi says, I would have never gone ahead and given them 50% of their earnings. I would have paid them something. I would have paid them kepoel batel. So what's the thing we said before? What's a poel batel? Right, a poel batel is like somebody who works as a scarecrow. How much money would it take to work as a scarecrow, right? No pressure. It's a wonderful job. We all have days where we say, I'd love to be a scarecrow, right? I sit in the field. I just sit there. I have no exertion enough to do anything. I just sit there. So that's what I would pay them. That's what I would pay them. Va'at amrit. No, say lam, schar mishalim. And you say, I have to pay them. I have to pay them a full wage. But I will say, but I don't understand. How can you say you have to pay them the full wage? But yet we say, so we'll say, remember again, we even said by the case of where I hired the workers, and then what? I didn't prepare the field for them. Or I didn't prepare the wheat for the donkey driver to transport. Even though I have to pay them, I don't have to pay them as if they worked the field. I don't have to pay them as if they transported the wheat, because at the end of the day, they didn't. So I have to pay them a lower wage. So you see that even in cases where people cancel on contracts, even if there's an obligation to pay, the obligation is never to pay for the job as if it was done, if it wasn't in actuality done. To which the Gemara says, you're right, lo sainua kame. That ultimately, again, they did not complete the teaching in front of Rav. Igida Amri, the other possibility is, sainua kame v'achi kamar chavivi. This is what Chavivi meant to say. Amar, ihava ana, lo havi hivna le klal. So ultimately, again, if I was there, I would not pay the worker at all. Va'at amar kepoa bottle, and yet you said you still have to pay them like a poa bottle. Elakasha, to which the Gemara says, hachlo kash, it's not a contradiction, I want to listen to this. Ha desayer desayra la'ar'e midda'arta. Ha delo sayra la'ar'e midda'arta. I want to say, listen to this. The Gemara says, I want to say, going back before to what we just said before, that look at Rashi. Ha desayra la'ar'e midda'arta. So we'll say, listen to this case. If I go ahead and I take workers to the field, well, it's actually very important. I take workers to the field, or I should say differently. I take them that morning to the field, and it turns out what? The field is wet, they can't work. So I say, what's talocha? What's talocha? I, the employer, have to pay them. Now, how do I have to pay them? Do I have to pay them? So let's say again, I was going to pay them $100 to work the field that day. Do I have to pay them $100?
No.
What I have to pay them? Kepoa bottle. Kepoa bottle means I have to pay them ultimately again the lower wage that someone would have accepted not to have to exert themselves. However, we quantify that dollar amount. Rabbi say, watch this. If I took the workers to the field the night before to show them around, and what? They saw that the field was wet. They saw that the field was wet, that it was unworkable, but they don't say anything. They recognized it. And they still choose to show up for work the next day. Then what? I owe them nothing. Why? Because since they were aware of the circumstances, they should have known better than to show up for a job that they knew could not be done, and therefore I, the employer, I'm on the hook for nothing. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Behold, chapolim sham. I took the workers there the night before. Vira'uha. Below havinu shilacha. So we'll say they saw it. Now Rashi says they didn't realize that it was wet. Oh, sheyardu gishamim balayla. Or we'll say, or it rained that night. Less luhu. Is that what you want to say? It just comes naturally. This is mamish. This is chazar. Mamish. You're going to blow your cover, people. You're a tzaddik mistar. People are going to know. Says the Gemara, what happens? So, or it rained that night. So, les lehu klal. Do'achazu inhu gufayhu. Va'amenas ke nistakru lo. Vahari lo yecholin v'lo haya lahan leilech baboker. So, we'll say, in a case like this, where lemaisi, either again, they saw it the night before, and they saw that it was wet, or they could have seen that it was wet, or it rained that night, and they should have realized that what? The field is not going to be workable, and they still showed up in the morning for work, they cannot claim wages against the owner. Now, we'll say, now again, remember, this is a very specific case. If they lived 3 hours away, so it's possible that what? That although it rained by the field, it didn't rain by them. That's not this case. What the Gemara is suggesting, I will say, is the following. So if Lemaisa, again, you show up for work, and because of circumstances beyond your control, that work cannot be done, the employer is chayiv to pay you. Now, he's not necessarily chayiv to pay you the full wage as if you worked. He's only chayiv to pay you, perhaps, what we call the wage of poel bottle. The poel bottle wage is the wage you get for work without exertion. But if you should have known better than to show up for a meeting, if you knew the work that you were hired to do cannot be done, then what? And you showed up anyway, both sides, then what? The halacha is you don't get paid. In other words, I was about to say that even as an employee, there's no such thing as showing up and collecting a paycheck. There's no such thing as this. Meaning that as an employee, you have a responsibility as well. And if you know the job you were contracted for cannot be done, you should have known that the job cannot be done. In other words, when the owner of the field takes you that night to see the field, what's your obligation as an employee? What's your obligation? Check it out. Well, it's incredible. This runs so counter to the work ethic that often exists in society, right? Because what's going to happen? What would happen in today's day and age? The owner takes me to the field, and I'm the employee. I see, oh, it's wet. What am I thinking to myself? I'm going to show up. Right? I'm going to make me some money. Right? I'm going to show up. Right? And I'm just going to sit around all day, no work. You know what? You're going to pay me the salary for showing up. It doesn't work that way in the Judaic workforce. In the Jewish workforce, on both sides, the employee has an obligation to look. So the owner's taking me out to the field to show me the field that I'm supposed to work tomorrow. And if I see already, it's too wet, it's too damp, it rained for the last week, I can't work there tomorrow, the onus is upon me, the employee, to recognize that I can't work tomorrow. And if I show up, or if it rains that night, and I should have realized it rained, and I still show up, I have no claim against the employer for any kind of wages. If, however, I show up and there's no shovel there, there's no hole there, there's no tractor there, there's no seed there, or I'm transporting the wheat and there's no wheat there, and I showed up for work, then absolutely the employer is going to be obligated, not at full wages, but at the wages of Paul Bottle. Let's stop over here. I'm sorry? Correct, but there's an automatic assumption that if I'm outsourcing labor, it's also possible that I might not be as proficient. I know real estate. Lav dafka, I know about working fields. The schmooze to the kids.